Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. Vigano is back at it again. This time, some really scathing words regarding the new encyclical of Pope Francis. He's talking about Fratelli Tutti, and he says that it represents, in a certain way, the emptiness of a withered heart of a blind man. Wow. That's harsh. I'm going to go over this statement. It comes from an interview of John Henry Weston over at LifeSite News. John Henry does great work, and he asked a number of questions to His Excellency Archbishop Vigano, former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States of America, a great man, a man that I admire and pray for and communicate with. And I'm going to focus on just the first question that John Henry Weston asked Vigano. This was a written interview, by the way. It wasn't a video. It was a written interview. I'm going to focus on this first question in which John Henry Weston asks him about his opinion on Fratelli Tutti, especially regarding the silence on abortion and how it speaks of global community and politicians and whatnot. And the things that Vigano says here are pretty powerful. We're used to Vigano saying powerful things, but when it comes to his words this time regarding Pope Francis Bergoglio, I think you're going to be shocked if you haven't already read it. So before we do all that, though, we're going to pray for Holy Mother of the Church, and we're going to pray to our eternal and divine Father, God the Father, and pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. By the way, this morning, I started listening to the Our Father in Aramaic Syriac. Beautiful. I might start working on that. We might have to work in a little Aramaic at the beginning of the show. I love Latin. But man, I really was swept away by the Aramaic. All right, here's the Latin. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in Caelo et in Terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Let's get started. If you're new, please subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. And everybody, please like and share the video on Facebook and Twitter. Okay, before we get started, before I went live, I saw that Catholic Answers Live, used to be on that show until I was critical of Pope Francis. I got blacklisted. They did a show in which they looked at things that Raymond Arroyo had said and that I had said and were critical of them. These mean, extreme rad trads. I don't know if Raymond Arroyo, most of us, but Raymond Arroyo has some good stuff. Papal Posse, look out. Raymond Arroyo is on point. Guy is based. So Catholic Answers is coming after me again. I don't know if you've seen that show. I looked at a couple clips of it. I haven't watched all of it. And I'm surprised in the first criticism in which they said, oh, Marshall's not really representing Thomas Aquinas. If you listen to the end, they actually end up agreeing with what I was saying. I say we must obey legitimate authority. So if your bishop or a pope says jump off a cliff, step on a crucifix, you do not do it. And I say if Pope Francis says or puts idols, Pachamamas, in a church, and everyone's offering incense, processing them, we do not do it, even if he's the Pope. You can't just say, well, the Pope's all down with it. Marshall, you got to get on board. Get on the Pacha train. I'm not getting on the Pacha train. It's not legitimate. It's not legitimate authority. So Catholic Answers were criticizing me, and they ended up agreeing with me. And then the other one is, as I said, you know, this is idolatry in the church. And Joe said, well, there's actually something worse. He says in 1988, there was a Assisi meeting. It was actually 1986, Joe. And John Paul II brought in idols. I don't see how that fixes the problem for Pope Francis. And they agree with me because in my book, Infiltration, I say the opening up to all this idolatry 1986 Assisi movement. Guess who said that way before me, way before I was a Catholic? Archbishop Lefebvre said that in 1986. This is opening up idolatry and paganism into the Catholic Church. So I don't know if you listened to that Catholic Answers hit piece, but I really don't think that I or Traditionalist or Vegano or Raymond Arroyo took any hits on that, took any hits on it at all. Let's look at Archbishop Vigano. Like I said, this is an interview. John Henry Weston over at LifeSite News. I encourage you to go to LifeSiteNews.com and check out the entire interview. It's not long at all. Okay, so John Henry Weston begins, and he asks this question to Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. What is your opinion on Fratelli Tutti? That's the new encyclical that Pope Francis just put out. Particularly its silence regarding abortion, especially in light of what the encyclical defines as the biggest concerns for politicians. Now, it's true, the encyclical, it talks about, and Vigano mentions this, economic exclusion, human trafficking, marketing of human organs and tissues, sexual exploitation of boys and girls, slave labor, prostitution, drug trade, weapon trade, terrorism, organized crime, etc. Missing from the list is abortion. That has to be intentional, people. How do you list the horrors, the gravest sins on planet Earth, and you forget about abortion, the murdering of babies in the womb, the greatest social issue of our time period, doesn't make the list? What? This is, has everyone scratching their heads reading Pope Francis's Fratelli Tutti. Why is it omitted? But I want to focus here today on three elements in Vigano's answer. The first is he says the encyclical lacks the virtues, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. That's an interesting take. When I read through Fratelli Tutti, I said it wasn't supernatural. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I like how Vigano focused in on the theological virtues and said that they're lacking. The second thing I want to focus on today is when Vigano says that this encyclical comes from the withered heart of a blind man. Is he referring to Pope Francis? Bergoglio? Blind man? Withered heart? Ooh. Ooh. And then the last point I want to cover briefly is he refers once again to the counter church, which is eclipsing the true church. This is language of Our Lady of La Salette, which I've covered many times before and will briefly do it again today. All right, before I get into it, I want to just recap my initial thought on the encyclical, and that is Fratelli Tutti is naturalistic, and it's trying to unite all seven, however many billion of us are, all of us around our common human nature. We are all, we would say theologically, children of Adam and Eve. And we share that in common. That makes us one. The problem with that is that Adam and Eve sinned, fell into original sin, and spread original sin and concupiscence to every single human person. You, me, everyone watching, the whole world. Then God, because he so loved the world, sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus Christ, we learn in Romans chapter 5, is the new Adam. This is why Christ wears a crown of thorns on his head, because what was the curse that God gave Adam? That you'll work the earth in thorns. So the new Adam, Jesus Christ, literally wears the curse of Adam as a crown on his forehead. Did you know that? And then he's buried in the earth that Adam had to till in the Holy Sepulchre, a rock-hewn tomb. Man, the Bible is so cool, all these connections, all these types and allegories going on in the Old Testament and then fulfilled in the New Testament. I wrote a book on that, if you're interested. It's called The Crucified Rabbi. It's how Catholicism and Jesus fulfill everything in the Old Testament. So Christ is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve, of course. And Christ comes to reunite all the children of Adam through grace. You see, it's not possible for us to be united around Adam because Adam introduces original sin and death and concupiscence. So we will never be able to unite under Adam. Then the son of Adam, the son of man, Christ called him, he comes and he comes to reunite all nations through grace. When we're baptized, God becomes our father, the church becomes our mother, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the gospel. So my problem with, and it's echoed also in Vigano's comments, my problem with Fratelli Tutti is that it's trying to unite all of mankind around our common human nature in Adam, and it doesn't introduce the supernatural life of grace that Christ instituted as the new Adam on the cross and resurrected. All right? Amen. Amen. Y'all follow that? Now, that kind of brings us to the first point of Archbishop Vigano. He says that this encyclical lacks faith, hope, and charity. He also says that because it lacks faith, hope, and charity, it betrays the twisted vision of this ideological manifesto that is in the service of the New World Order. So Vigano sees this as a manifesto of the New World Order. That means Vigano thinks fairly poorly of it. And then he goes on a couple paragraphs later. He says, Fratelli Tutti is an encyclical that not only lacks faith, but also hope and charity. The voice of the divine shepherd and physician of souls does not echo in its language, but rather the rapacious wolf's growl or the mercenary's deafening silence, John 10:10. There is no breath of love, either for God or for man, because in order to truly desire the good of modern man, it is necessary to wake him out of his hypnotic spell of do-goodery, ecologism, pacifism, ecumenism, and globalism. Ism, ism, ism. Have you ever noticed, by the way, that ecumenism is the religious version of globalism? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Ecumenism is the religious version of globalism. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Talk about it. Vigano says, in a little bit lower, he says, I believe that this very sad Fratelli Tutti represents in a certain way the emptiness of a withered heart, of a blind man deprived of supernatural sight, who gropingly thinks he can give an answer that he himself first ignores. So what Vigano's saying here is, it's like what I said last week. If you rally around Adam and not Christ, you're not going to have the grace to really fulfill our true supernatural end as human persons. And of course, every time there's grace in the soul, there's faith, hope, and charity. That's a theological truth. So that's exactly what Vigano is saying here. So if you take faith, hope, and charity out of the globalist scenario, that means you take grace out of it. He says what you have is this document, Fratelli Tutti. And by the way, I don't think it's a legitimate encyclical, and I explained why in my previous video last week. The short answer is it doesn't address the church. It addresses all men of goodwill. He says this document represents in a certain way the emptiness of a withered heart of a blind man deprived of supernatural sight. Is Vigano saying that Francis has a withered heart? Is he a blind man? Is he deprived of supernatural sight? Who gropingly thinks he can give an answer that he himself first ignores? What is the answer? The answer, I think Vigano would say, he doesn't say right here, but he says the answer would be, as the vicar of Christ, the answer is Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, crucified and risen again. You can't dialogue with a Jewish friend or a Muslim friend or a Hindu friend or an atheist friend if you don't say the only answer is Jesus Christ, and you should be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Any dialogue that doesn't have that statement is denying the answer. Once you take that off the table, what are you going to dialogue with all these different religions and persuasions? Well, the stuff you see in Fratelli Tutti. Let's just kind of all come together in a love huddle. It's 1968 all over again. Bigano says, I recognize that it is a sad and grave statement, but I think that more than asking ourselves about the orthodoxy of this document, we should ask ourselves, what is the state of a soul incapable of feeling any surge of charity or allowing himself to be touched by a divine ray shining into that gloomy grayness represented by his utopian transient dream closed to the grace of God? Essentially, what Archbishop Vigano is saying here, he's saying, not only is the document not orthodox, he said, we should ask ourselves the state of the soul of the man who is incapable of feeling any surge of charity. Seems he's saying here that the author of the document is living in gloomy grayness, to use his word. Gloomy grayness. To date, I don't think Archbishop Vigano has ever said something that bold, that obvious, that direct against Pope Francis. Do you? Have you ever heard? I mean, I know some zingers that Vigano, I think I've read everything Vigano's ever published that's come in through English translation. I think I've read the complete set, the exhaustive box set of Archbishop Vigano. That right there, that might be the biggest one. I think it is. I think that's the biggest one. Now, the final point that I want to cover today is, there's another choice quote here. He says, hoping that a horizontal brotherhood can guarantee peace and justice has nothing supernatural about it because it does not look to the kingdom of heaven. It is not based on the promises of Christ, and it does not consider divine grace necessary, placing its trust in man who is corrupted by original sin and therefore inclined to evil. If we all come together, brotherhood, 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 human nature, well, guess what the first two brothers did of Adam and Eve? Cain killed Abel. You want to bring the brothers together? The Bible tells you what happens when the children of Adam and Eve, without grace, come together. Cain, in the darkness of his heart, kills Abel. That's what the brotherhood of man gets you when you don't have Jesus Christ. Close the book. Now, the last point is where Vigano says we have a counterfeit church. It's eclipsing the other church. And I think I talked about this two Vigano videos ago. I should print out a list of all the shows so I could tell them or tell you guys, that was in this show and that was in this show. I'm sorry, I need to be better at that. But Vigano is very, very much into this theology of church and counter-church, church and parallel church, right? Christ, antichrist, church, anti-church. And he sees these two realities. It's Augustinian, it's North African, early Christian. These two realities kind of coexist. It's the idea of the wheats and the tares, right? Or the wolves amongst the sheeps. It's a reality, it's always there. People, you know, they talk about me, Taylor Marshall, they say, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. He thinks there's bad clergy. And it's like, have you guys read the New Testament where Jesus says there'll be wolves in sheep's clothing amongst you? There'll be false prophets and false Christs in your midst. And that was going back to the first century. There's no conspiracy theory here. There's a conspiracy fact. And the fact is there's always a Judas Iscariot amongst us ready and waiting to kiss the Savior and betray Christ and betray his people. There is always a Judas in the shadows waiting in every single century. who started the Arian heresy that Christ was not fully divine? A priest named Arius. Who started the heresy that stated that Mary is not the mother of God, but only the mother of his nature? Nestorius, the patriarch, archbishop, metropolitan of Constantinople, number two in the church. He is the guy who did that and tried to leave souls to hell. It's always an inside job. It's always an infiltration. It's not a conspiracy theory that Taylor Marshall cooked up in 2019 and put into a book. It's a fact, conspiracy fact. I've been seeing so many people in the last 2 weeks. I think it's because I'm working with the Trump campaign. People saying, Marshall, he's just lost these conspiracy theorists, and they keep coming back to infiltration. I don't know if you guys saw it, but a priest just had illicit relations on an altar, a Catholic altar, with two satanic dominatrixes last week. So don't come in here and tell us that everything is hunky-dory awesome in the Catholic Church. Mm-mm. And we know what y'all are doing with Peter Pence money. Elton John movies, right? All this stuff. We know. So don't come in here and say it's a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. We know it. We know it. If you spend 10 minutes looking into this issue, you know it's a fact. So Vigano says, thus the church, or rather her counterfeit that eclipses her almost entirely, does not offer a Catholic answer anymore to the man who is hopeless and thirsting for truth, but instead advances the scandal of pain and suffering whose root cause is sin, placing the responsibility on God and blaspheming him as unjust. He's referring to a statement, I think, previously made by Francis. Here, Vigano is recalling the words of Our Lady at La Salette. The church will be eclipsed. When there's an eclipse, the moon doesn't disappear. It's hidden. Something comes in front of it, and it becomes dark, namely the earth. But something comes in front and darkens what's there, what we normally always see. And it's always a phenomenon that freaks people out, you know, eclipses. There seem to be omens. So Our Lady of La Salette warns us, you know, the church is not going to disappear or dissolve or defect. The church can be wounded, injured, neglected, beaten, poisoned, exiled, all these things. But she is indefectible, always will exist. She will be eclipsed, hidden, shadow. Where is she? Where is she? Where is the church? Covered over. He says, almost entirely right now. Almost entirely. We're in a 90-something percent eclipse right now. Where is the church? Everybody's asking, what's going on? Where are the good bishops? What's the Pope? Why is the Pope saying these things? Where are the good cardinals? Why are the cardinals doing all this with money and sex and having, you know, crack orgies in the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith? What's going on? What's going on? Looking around for, where's the true church? Where's the true church? I think it goes back to what our Lady said. There will be an eclipse. If you want a full translation of both messages of Our Lady of La Salette, they're in the back of the book in an appendix in my book, Infiltration. There's also a full chapter on it. I'm not just trying to sell y'all a book like some online grifter. I want you to be informed. I know it's hard to get these documents. Like, where do you get the permanent structure of Alta Vendita? It's kind of hard to get. Even if you buy it on Amazon, it's not the full version. But I put the whole thing together in English translations in the back of this book, Our Lady of La Salette, both of them in there. Timelines on communion in the hand, timelines on liturgical change, all that documented. This is a manual for you to have facts at your hand. So get it at the library. Borrow it from a friend if you don't want to spend money. Get the info. Get the info. So there are two, I'm going to close up here, but there's two ways of understanding our current crisis. I try to read all this stuff, and Our Lady La Salette and Archbishop Vigano talk about the eclipse. When I listen to a wonderful father in Christ, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, also great and holy bishop, good man, I hear from his mouth, passion of the church. This is the idea, you see it in Anne Catherine Emmerich, that just as Christ went through the passion, the scourging, the carrying of the cross, and a death, and then a resurrection, so at the end of time, the church will go through a trial, a scourging, a carrying of the cross, and what seems to be some kind of death, and then a final vindication or resurrection. It's the idea, just like an eclipse. You see it, it goes away, goes away, goes away, and then it comes back. But it never ceases to exist. It's just obscured. So I really think passion of the church and eclipse of the church are just two ways of talking about this reality. And you, everyone watching, needs to realize the church is not disappearing. The church is not failing to exist. The church is under a shadow. It's in eclipse. It's suffering. Could be going into a tomb. But it will always, always be until the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right, well, that's the Vigano says a lot more. So go to LifeSite News, read the whole thing. John Henry Weston interview. That was the part that I thought was really interesting. And it has that zinger there about Pope Francis, withered heart of a blind man, and then more of this eclipse language, which we've already seen in Vigano. So if you enjoyed this, please like the video, hit the thumbs up. That tells YouTube or Twitter or wherever you're watching this, you like this and you want to see more videos like it, and it will share it with other like-minded people, hopefully people who aren't like-minded. So please like it. And then the most important thing you can do is share it. Please share this video on Facebook and on Twitter. Hit that share button. It takes just a couple seconds. The reason for that is YouTube, Twitter, you know, you saw yesterday Twitter was shutting down all the conservatives, just deleting stuff. They don't like our material. They don't like these kind of videos. All right. You talk against the UN and the EU and globalism. They don't like this content. So they're not going to spread it. They're not going to feature it. Hey, you might like this video. No, they're going to suppress all this kind of stuff. So the only way these videos, my videos, get to you and other people and your friends is if you actually manually share it. If you don't share it, we just get suppressed. So please, please share. That's the most important thing you could do for the work that I'm trying to do and others are trying to do. And of course, subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the bell for notifications. If you're on Periscope, please follow me on Periscope. You can also like it on Facebook. All right, we're going to close in prayer. We'll pray the Ave Maria. And I'd like to pray for the Apostolic See, the Diocese of Rome, which includes the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, all the cardinals, all the clergy, all the consistories, dicasteries, everything. Let's pray for the mother and teacher of all churches, the Apostolic See, Rome. Oremus. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Our Lady, Mother of God, pray for us. Saint Hedwig, pray for us. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching, and make sure you are doing your role in this army, in this battle, in this resistance. And what is it? Pray the rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, you are not on the team. Pray the rosary every single day. Our Lady asks us to do that. Also, good news, today all the edits in my new book on the rosary, Rosary in 50 Pages, are all in. So I'll have some good news about that probably next week. Till next time, remember our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. It's Friday. Don't eat meat. See you tomorrow or the next day.